James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
What can Christians do to help preserve our nation during divided times?
We have a job to do. It's a twofold job. We destroy arguments and speculations raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ.
Do you feel like America is plunging into the abyss? Well, not so fast. Be encouraged and discover what we can do about it on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. We live in some of the most divided times in America of any of our lifetimes. Those divisions have been stoked by people with a Marxist worldview who want to tear down the nation, claiming it has been a bastion of oppression, and instead let the resentment-fueled ideology of identity politics take over. On today's program, you will discover the antidote for this disease in our body politic. We begin with Dr. Vody Bachum, who once held to this poisonous ideology himself, but has since experienced the cure. And now he works to help others find that cure as well. Our own John Rabe has more.
Dr. Vody Bachum is one of the most in-demand Christian conference speakers in the world. He serves as the Dean of Theology at the African Christian University in Zambia. But when he first believed the gospel as an American college student, his worldview was not fully shaped by biblical principles. During these early years, Vody fell prey to divisive Marxist ideologies that were so popular among young people.
You know, I spent a large part of my early life holding to these ideologies. When I transferred as a senior and went to Houston Baptist University, I was a founder of the Black Student Fellowship on campus. I wore T-shirts with, you know, Malcolm X on them. As a new believer, I was still much more black than I was Christian, period, full stop. And my ideology was very much in this vein.
But as Vody began to live out his faith, he realized that things needed to change.
And really, it was over the course of the years, as I began to walk out my Christian faith, live out my Christian faith, in relationship with people who were not like me, that these things sort of began to break down for me. Then an interesting thing happened. The Promise Keepers movement was really big in, you know, the early 90s, and I was invited to participate in a number of Promise Keeper events. And at that time, there was this real emphasis on racial reconciliation. And it just broke me. It broke my heart. And so I was convicted. And I made a decision. Me and my wife, our young family, we made a decision that we would no longer be satisfied going to a church where everybody looked like us. And I took a position at a predominantly white church with a view toward racial reconciliation, with a view toward putting my money where my mouth was, you know, so to speak. And with a view toward, I would have said I was a missionary to my white brethren. And it was a difficult time for us to be other, for my children to be oftentimes one of the only, you know, black children in a class or a group or whatever, dealing with people who sometimes were ignorant, sometimes insensitive, and sometimes maybe racist. but it was a commitment that we believed that the Lord called us to make. It's something that really God used to help shape my understanding, used to help me to see my own blind spots, and used also to help me break down walls and barriers, and to establish intimate, meaningful, lifelong relationships with people who didn't look like me, who didn't come from where I came from. And it's been a vital part of God making me who I am.
Since then, the Baucom family has grown by adding 5 adopted children that they homeschool. As a homeschool dad and a leader in the church, Vody Baucom has emphasized cultural apologetics, helping both his family and the church to better understand the importance of thinking and responding biblically to the false ideologies that surround us. This includes the new false notion of racial justice that is invading the church.
And Christians, you know, we are part of one body. We belong to one another. We know this, right? The Bible makes it clear that you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, Christ is our peace. He is our peace. He has broken down the dividing wall. He's brought peace to those who are far off and peace to those who are near. You know, we are one in Christ. We know this. And so when Christians hear things like, you know, there's this problem of racial injustice, and when Christians hear that, you know, your brothers and sisters are grieved and they're being wronged and mistreated and you don't understand and you don't get it, the natural tendency for followers of Christ who love the brethren is to say, okay, that's not where I want to be. And so there's a sense of vulnerability to that. And I think it's a fine line, and it's a difficult one to walk, especially when on the one hand you're being told that you don't understand and you can't understand.
While the desire for racial unity and reconciliation is good and biblical, critical race theory offers a religious substitute, which Dr. Baucom calls ethnic Gnosticism.
Well, ethnic Gnosticism is a term that I coined to try to explain one aspect of critical race theory. Critical race theory assumes that racism is normal. Racism, and what I mean by that is that according to critical race theory, you know, as Robin DiAngelo would say, you don't ask whether racism occurred in a situation. You ask how racism was manifested in a situation. Because it is normal, it is there, it is everywhere, it is in everything. But one of the aspects of critical race theory, and this comes from its Marxist roots, is the idea that the oppressed, by virtue of their position as the oppressed, have access to knowledge and understanding and insight that the oppressor does not. So our access to truth is not by the revelation of God's word. Our access to truth comes from tapping into the special knowledge, hence the term, you know, Gnosticism, Gnosis, special knowledge, of the oppressed. And that's what I was trying to encapsulate with that term, ethnic Gnosticism. It's incredibly nihilistic, and there are risks involved in terms of losing our sense of community, our sense of structure, our sense of society, because ultimately, where this goes is there is no truth. There is no common ground. In terms of, you know, so-called racial justice, if you will, and anti-racism. You do the work of anti-racism, but you never finish the work of anti-racism. It's a hamster wheel that you never get off of. We never complete that journey. There is no forgiveness in the cult of anti-racism, as some have called it.
The advocates of critical race theory and the social justice movement want to paint Christianity as oppressive in order to ultimately eradicate it altogether. So how do we fight this battle? According to Dr. Baucom, we proclaim biblical truth and the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the only path to true justice and reconciliation.
We don't preach Christ just as, you know, some good teacher or some, you know, guy who had some, you know, some good sayings. No, we preach Christ and Him crucified. We preach Christ as the incarnate Son of God who died for sin and rose on the third day. We preach Christ who's seated at the right hand of the Father and who's going to return to judge the living and the dead and to take His ransom home with Him. We preach the gospel, which is the good news. And every good that we do not only comes out of that, but it's only good because of that. And so we have to do that. And then I think we very specifically have to heed Paul's words that we destroy arguments, we destroy lofty opinions, we destroy speculations. We have to identify and oppose these faulty ideologies. We have a biblical obligation to do so. And then we take every thought captive. You know, Peter asks it this way, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? I love that, you know. It's better that we should suffer for doing right if that's the Lord's will, you know. And in that same passage, you know, he tells us that we set apart Christ as Lord, always being ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us for the reason, for the hope that is in us, and yet to do it with gentleness and with reverence. That's always been what we've been called to do. It continues to be what we're called to do, to give a reason for the hope that is in us.
Discover the power and promise of Christ's passion in the book, Behold the Man, written by Dr. D. James Kennedy and Dr. Jerry Newcomb to help you more fully grasp the incredible price Jesus paid to rescue you from your sins. Behold the Man is an in-depth look at Christ's passion from multiple perspectives. You'll encounter what was foretold hundreds of years ahead by the prophets. The depth of that bitter cup of God's wrath that Christ drank for you. The eyewitness testimony of Christ's passion from Thomas, Judas, the Roman centurion, Barabbas, and others. And the overwhelming scientific evidence for Christ's resurrection. For your generous donation toward the work of this ministry, we'll send you the book Behold the Man to embolden you to live more faithfully for Jesus, who gave His all so that we might live.
Vodi Baucom was transformed by the truth of the gospel. That is the power of God at work in us. America will not be saved by a political candidate or party. Blessing will come as God's Spirit moves anew in our nation, changing the hearts and the nature of men and women, boys and girls. As we approach Holy Week, consider anew the importance of Christ's death and resurrection. Forgiveness, cleansing, and a new heart are what each of us needs, and what can only come from Jesus. Dr. Kennedy tells us how, in this portion of his message, the great transaction.
We are coming soon to the culmination of the Christian year, to Passion Week, to Holy Week, to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we come today to the pinnacle of what is called the Ordo Salutis, the way of salvation. It is the central doctrine of our redemption. It is the great teaching of the Bible found nowhere else in any other religion whatsoever. And it is, very simply, justification by an imputed righteousness. Now, that doctrine is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's take a look today more closely at what that actually means. It involves a representative principle which the Bible is built upon completely. And that is, the Bible teaches that there are two great families of the world. There is the family of man, of which Adam was the first parent and the federal head of the human race, and that God made a covenant with Adam in which he said if he would obey the commandment that God gave to him, which was simply one command, and that negative, that Adam would gain for himself eternal life and the same for all of his posterity, every one of us. He had only one command to keep. It would have seemed to be a very simple thing. But as we all know, Adam and his wife rebelled, and they disobeyed, and they sinned, and they died spiritually. Not only did they die, but they brought spiritual condemnation upon not only themselves, but all of their posterity as well. They were our representatives. Now, some people say they don't like somebody else representing them. Well, dear friends, you have it all the time. You have, in whatever state you live, legislators representing you and passing laws in your name and in your, supposedly, for your behalf. Every country which has a good president or king, all of the people share in the benefits. If they have an evil president or king, all suffer the consequences. That ought to sound extremely current and relevant in this particular day in which we live. As I say, the guilt of Adam's first sin is imputed to the human race. But there are three imputations in the Bible, not just one. And imputation is a very, very key term in the gospel. To impute is to ascribe to someone. It is to reckon something to someone. It is to lay something to someone's charge. There is the imputation of the guilt of Adam's first sin to the whole human race, and then there is the imputation of our sin to Christ, who endured it, endured the penalty for it upon the cross. The guilt is a liability to punishment, and Christ took that liability upon himself and endured the wrath of God for sin upon his own body and soul there upon the cross, as our guilt was imputed unto him. And thirdly, and happily, there is the imputation of Christ's righteousness unto us. That is the justification by an imputed righteousness. As Hodge says so clearly, the Bible, as we have seen, teaches first that we are under a law which demands perfect obedience. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect," and which threatens death in case of transgression. Secondly, that all men have failed in rendering that obedience, and therefore are subject to the threatened penalty, which is death. And thirdly, that Christ has redeemed us from that law by being made under it and in our place, satisfying its demands. Christ did two things. He lived the only perfect life the world has ever seen. "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" he could say. Or again, "I do always those things which please my Father." Which of us can say that? I cannot. But he did. And there has been none who has ever found the slightest fault in the life of Christ. He lived the perfect life vicariously, substitutionarily, in our stead. He did what is demanded of us in our place. And secondly, he not only obeyed the precepts, he endured the penalty for our sin, because there upon the cross All of our transgressions were placed upon him, and God poured out the cauldron of his wrath for sin upon his own beloved Son, who endured a penalty that we cannot possibly imagine. We cannot know, we cannot tell what pains he suffered there, but we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. Christ did it all, a perfect righteousness, in whose righteousness are you clothed today? Your own or Christ's?
Few people were better at explaining this good news of forgiveness and salvation than Dr. D. James Kennedy. He devoted a lifetime to studying the scriptures because Jesus Christ had changed his life. And Dr. Kennedy longed to bring that transformation to others as well. Do you know why Jesus had to die so you could be saved? Do you know why he was willing to pour himself out that way? And why God the Father would not only allow it, but decree it? If you don't know, or if you know but want to dig deeper into these precious truths and how they apply to you, we want to bring the fruit of Dr. Kennedy's understanding and eloquence to you. If you are able to give a generous donation today to the ongoing work of this ministry, we will thank you by sending you the book, Behold the Man, the Power and Promise of Christ's Passion, by Dr. Kennedy and our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the Lamb of God, laid down his life to save us from our sins. It's the central event in all of history. In Behold the Man, Dr. Kennedy and Dr. Newcomb give you an in-depth look at Christ's suffering and death, his passion, to help you more fully grasp the incredible price that Jesus paid for our redemption, and in doing so, to love him all the more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. And if you're able to include a generous donation of $60 or more, we will send you the book, Behold the Man, plus the 7-DVD set, The Divine Drama, Eyewitness Testimony to Christ's Passion. In this series of gripping video messages, Dr. Kennedy vividly brings to life 7 of the key individuals present during the Passion of Jesus Christ. These compelling messages place you right in the middle of history's greatest drama as you see Christ's suffering, crucifixion, and resurrection through the people who were there. These are some of Dr. Kennedy's most compelling and most requested messages. Behold the drama of the cross in the 7-DVD set, The Divine Drama, Eyewitness Testimony to Christ's Passion, which we will send you along with the book, Behold the Man, The Power and Promise of Christ's Passion, as our thanks for your generous donation of $60 or more. Or we will send you the book, Behold the Man, as our thanks for your generous donation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Human history has seen no greater influence for changing lives than Jesus Christ. Jesus has turned murderers into missionaries. He's taken cowards and made them courageous. He has come alongside the sexually broken and made them whole again. He's grabbed hold of embittered gang members and transformed them into eloquent and grace-filled pastors. And as Jesus Christ has changed individuals, he has also transformed entire civilizations, making the bloodthirsty Roman Empire into a force for good, taking the rapacious slave-trading Vikings and causing them to free their slaves and become builders of Western society. And of course, Jesus was the impetus for the end of the slave trade later in Great Britain and in America. After the atomic bombs of World War II brought the fierce warriors of Japan to surrender, General Douglas MacArthur, who became the supreme commander charged with rebuilding Japan, called upon America to send 1,000 missionaries to the bellicose nation, knowing the transformative power of the gospel. In a few weeks, we will celebrate Easter. Did you know that Easter is all about that transformation? And that it's available for you? By dying for our sins and being raised again from the dead, Jesus offers us the great exchange, our sin for his righteousness. Because of his death and resurrection, I can have eternal life in the presence of the holy, almighty God, even though I am a sinner. And when you receive Jesus Christ by faith, you also are transformed. As God's word tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This invitation to a new life is for you. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today can be the day of your salvation. If this is the desire of your heart, just pray along with me. Father, I have sinned against you and deserve your punishment. But in your grace and mercy and love, you have instead offered me eternal life in Jesus as a free gift. Lord, I accept that wonderful gift and received Jesus Christ, your Son, as my Lord and Savior. Now, Lord, please transform me, wash me, and make me new again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you sincerely prayed that prayer, we have a book we want to send you at no cost or obligation to you. It's Dr. Kennedy's book for new believers to guide you in your relationship with Christ. It's called Beginning Again. Contact us to receive a copy today, and may God bless you as you do. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for being with us, and here's a look at the next truths that transform.
The New Testament Gospels, written in the first century, were written at a time when many eyewitnesses were still living. In fact, statistical studies have been done that show that.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.